Welcome to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast with Darren Mitchell. If you're a sales leader looking to take your leadership to a whole new level, then this is the podcast for you. We'll be exploring tips, techniques, and strategies to help you take your leadership to the exceptional level and allow you to enjoy more money, more meaning, and better sales results. Hello and welcome back to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. Darren Mitchell here on a beautiful Tuesday, the 27th of October, 2020. And I trust that wherever you are in the world, you've enjoyed a very fast and highly productive start to your sales week. And in today's episode, I wanted to talk about what I consider to be the power of humility. And it is another example that came out of the AFL Grand Final on Saturday night, where Richmond beat Geelong for their third premiership in 4 years, and it was a fantastic game. I talked about this yesterday on the podcast, but today I want to talk about the humility and some of the examples that I saw post the game, and also on reflection what I saw yesterday in the press, which I actually overlooked and didn't talk about yesterday. So I felt compelled to put this message out today because I think it's really important. There's a lot of lessons we can get from that in particular for us as sales leaders and great leaders of teams and great cultures. So it all starts with this thought that great organizations are always built on great cultures. And cultures that not only endure, they're there, they're consistent, and they're cultures that people are attracted to. If you look at great organizations tend to have low levels of turnover. They have low levels of attrition because people want to be part of something special, and it's an attractive force that like attracts like, and they want to be part of something that is going somewhere. And that's certainly the example that Richmond Footy Club, I think, has set in terms of their culture, because they've got what appears to be, certainly from the outside, and everything I've observed and everything I've heard and talking to people who know some of the key people within the footy club, they've got a really, really strong family-based culture where it's all-inclusive, and they've got great uncompromising standards that are founded and grounded in excellence. Now, if you look at what they do on a day-to-day basis, it's very, very difficult to win a premiership, let alone win three premierships in 4 years. And I hear a lot of AFL coaches talk about the fact that the AFL competition now, with the evening up with all the draft and all the concessions and stuff that happen, it's really, really difficult to have sustained success. And it means, though, you've got to create a culture which separates you from everybody else. And often it's the small things that get put in place that enables them over time to create excellence and high levels of sustained performance that delivers these results, because it is really, really difficult. So what Richmond have done really well is be able to create that fantastic culture. And the thing, and a couple of things that I've noticed around this football club as an organization, and I want to take a parallel between this football club and also a sales organization, or in fact your sales team, and just think about some of these things and whether we've got these in place, and if we don't, how can we put them in place? The first thing about the Richmond Footy Club that strikes me, and listening to everyone that's talking about, and it doesn't matter whether it's the CEO, the president, the coach, the captain, or individual players, everybody within the club knows exactly the role that they play. They know exactly what their sweet spot is, what their zone of genius is, and they know the contribution that they're there to make. So the club's purpose is really, really clear. If you go back 10 years, Brendan Gale, the CEO of Richmond, put out a strategic plan, and at the time, he was kind of laughed at because he said that he wanted to, within 10 years, have something like 75,000 members, win three premierships. I think that's what he said, three or four. And a whole host of other things that he put out there. Now, at the time, Richmond really struggling. The previous probably 10, 20 years, they were predominantly the laughing stock of the AFL. And if you're an AFL fan, you would have known Richmond and position ninth on the ladder were synonymous with each other, because every single year, they weren't fantastic, but they also weren't woeful. They were sort of middle of the road, ending up around ninth on the ladder, which is about the middle of the ladder each year. So their level of performance was probably average without being mediocre, and certainly without being excellent. So he put this grand plan together 10 years ago, and it meant that he had to start bringing in the right people to fulfill the roles. So if you look at the roles that everybody does in the organization today, it's very, very specific, and they stick to their zone of genius. Now, the other thing that strikes me as well is that it always has been about the team first. Whether you're talking to the coach, whether you're talking to the captain or any other player, it's always team first. Now, the classic example here is Dusty Martin, who is will probably now go down in history as probably the greatest finals player ever, with three Norm Smith medals, and no other player in the history of the game has ever done that. He removed his medal as soon as he got it from Byron Pickett on Saturday night because he didn't want to separate himself from his team and be seen wearing two medals, his Norm Smith medal and his Premiership medal. He wanted to be about the team. And if you listen to the press conference he did afterwards, when he was asked how he felt about the Norm Smith medal having won three, he couldn't put it into words. But then when he was asked the question, what does it mean to be part of a triple Premiership team? He said, that's what it's all about, and there it is. And he had no trouble talking about that because he didn't want to make it about himself. So great clubs, great businesses, great teams, great organisations, they don't make the about individuals, they make it about team first. So it's always the team ethos. Every player spoke about the team and therefore not their individual performance. And if you think about what Damien Hardwick's talked about, he was talking about specifically the squad mentality and how that the list of, I think, 45 players on the list, each and every one of them made a contribution this year. Now, there was a lot of players who were unlucky not to get into the grand final team, and in any other side in the AFL, they would probably find themselves in the best 22, such as the strength of this Richmond Football Club. But there was people who hadn't played a game all year, but equally these players had made a contribution to the Premiership tilt and the Premiership result because of the role that they played within the club. And each and every one was given recognition for the role they'd actually played. So it was all about the people around them. Damien Hardwick talked about having good people around him. So his coaching staff, for example, great people to surround himself with. Brendan Gale, as the president, always made sure he had good people around him and continues to have good people around him. So this is how you build a great culture, by making sure you've got a great bunch of people who are coming from different perspectives, have different likes and dislikes, have different strengths and maybe areas for improvement. But when you put them together and when they know their role, they actually know exactly what it is they need to do, and together they absolutely hum. But all of this has been done under the guise of, and with the theme running through the entire club, of humility. And this is the greatest thing about it. Now, two fantastic examples of this that played out, which I don't think has got a lot of airplay, but it's something that I noticed yesterday and looking over some of the footage of the game as well. The first one relates to how the team on the day itself, in the game itself, treated Gary Ablett, which was the Geelong star who hurt his shoulder in the first couple of minutes of the game. When Gary Ablett came back and he had his shoulder strapped and obviously had some pain-killing injections, there was a lot of camera on Gary for the rest of the game, whether it be in the play or outside of the play. And not once did any Richmond player go up to him and start to punch him or try to intimidate him by taking aim at his injured shoulder. Now, which is really interesting because typically AFL players look for the edge that they can get over their opponents. And I've seen countless examples, and you probably have as well if you're an AFL follower, where a player is injured. It may well be they've dislocated their finger or they've hurt their elbow or they've hurt their quad or their hamstring or whatever it is and might have got a corky. And when they come back on the field, the opponents target that area as a way to try and diminish their attention, take their attention away from the game, so that their opponent can get the edge. Now, it was really interesting to see not a single Richmond player on Saturday night focused on Gary Ablett's shoulder when he came back on the field. And I said, I think that said a lot about the quality of the individuals within that team, but also the strength of the culture and the fact that there's humility running right through it, that it's not about gaining an unfair advantage. It's about winning on equal footing and treating other people with respect. The other big example, which I think even speaks more volumes, is at the end of the game, after the Premiership Cup had been awarded, after all the medallions had been awarded, Gary Ablett was given a guard of honour as he walked off the ground. Now, I didn't notice this at the time, but there was a photograph in the press yesterday which showed the Richmond players lining up opposite the Geelong players so that Gary Ablett could walk through the guard of honour as he left the ground for the very last time because he's now retired. And every single Richmond player had taken their Premiership medal off. None of them were wearing their Premiership medal. Now, they'd just won the Premiership. They'd celebrated. Each of them got a Premiership medallion. And every single one of them had taken it off and it was not visible. And the reason for that, and nobody talked about it, and it wasn't say, hey, we're going to do this and take this and how good we are. They simply did it as an act of respect to Gary Ablett, because it wasn't, at that moment, it wasn't about Richmond and them. It was about honouring probably what will go down as the best player ever to play the game of AFL, and giving him the send-off that and the respect that they thought he deserved. And the other thing, it was also about not rubbing it in the Geelong players' faces that, hey, we've won the premiership and look at all these medallions. They took it off. And I thought that, just by that example, said a lot about the club and said a lot about the humility that this team demonstrates and therefore the club demonstrates, which makes them such a classy organisation and such a difficult competitor. Now, to wrap this up, these guys are a classy organisation. Now, I don't barrack for Richmond. I barrack for Melbourne, and I wish my football club would take some of the key lessons out of what Richmond does and how they go about it, and instill those sort of principles and that sort of culture into the way that Melbourne Footy Club plays. Because if you look at it, and this is I'll wrap this up with this thought, that Richmond is a really classy organisation, but it's based on excellence. But it took time. They had a vision 10 years ago that they wanted to be a club that would never be the laughingstock again of the AFL. And they've never, ever wavered. They've actually, when the challenges were coming, they never wavered from their purpose. They stood tough. They made sure they surrounded themselves with good people. They made sure they brought in a good coach in terms of Damien Hardwick, and they backed him. They wanted to be ruthless. They wanted to be tough. They wanted to be fair, but above all, they wanted to be humble. So as a sales leader right now, look at the team and the makeup of your team. Have you developed a team that is tough, that is ruthless, that is fair, but is humble? Are you looking for surrounding yourself with great people? Have you got some standards of excellence you put in place where it's respect for other people? Are you looking to how you can serve people? Because that's exactly what the Richmond Footy Club have done, and it's a fantastic example in the sporting world of the power of humility. So I trust that message resonates. I just felt I didn't talk about that yesterday, and I just felt overnight that I'd missed something. I wanted to record that today. So just have a look at your team. Are you the leader that your team deserves? Are you founding your leadership on principles of excellence, on standards of excellence that are uncompromising, but are also founded in humility? And if you are, you're well on your way to becoming that exceptional sales leader. And of course, if you'd like some help, if you'd like to work one-on-one together, I'd love to work with you and help you take your sales leadership to that exceptional level over the next 90 days. Let's jump on a call and have a conversation about what that program may look like for you. Simply go to my calendar at leadwithdarren.com and pick a time, and I'll give you a call and look forward to that conversation. And of course, if we're not connected on LinkedIn, love to interact with you on that platform. So please send me a connection request and I will be sure to accept that, and look forward to having a conversation with you there. So remember, the key message today is make sure you found your leadership on uncompromising standards, but standards of excellence. But above all, a key part of being that servant leader is to remain humble and always look at humility as the bedrock of great servant leadership. And that will help you move a lot closer to becoming that exceptional sales leader. All the best. Thank you for listening to the Exceptional Sales Leader Podcast. I trust the information in this episode has been helpful in your journey towards becoming exceptional. And remember, please take the time to rate the show, subscribe to the show so other people can find it. But also, if I can help you, jump on my calendar, go to leadwithdarren.com, and let's have a conversation about how I can help you along your journey to being exceptional.